Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to give me life, to give me forgiveness, to give me a place in your family. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to guide me and empower in my daily life and ministry. Heavenly Father, open my eyes that I may see your greatness, your majesty, your victory on my behalf. I place myself now under the cross of Jesus Christ and cover myself with the precious blood of Jesus. I surround myself with the light of Jesus Christ and say in the name of Jesus that nothing shall interfere with the Lord's work being accomplished in my life. I put on God's armor to resist the devil's tactic. I stand my ground with truth buckled around my waist and integrity for my breastplate. I carry the shield of faith to put out the burning arrows of the evil one. I accept salvation from God to be my helmet and receive the word of God from the Spirit to use as a sword. Heavenly Father, please show me any way that Satan has a hold on my life. I let go of all those things right now. Any territory I have handed over to Satan, I now reclaim and place under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind all spirits of the air, fire, water, ground, underground, and in the world. I bind all forces of evil and claim the blood of Jesus Christ on the air, the atmosphere, the water, the ground, and their fruits around us, the underground and in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, I seal this room and all members of my family, relatives, associates, friends, and all sources of supply in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I forbid every spirit from any source from harming me in any way. In the name of Jesus Christ, I reject this seductive lure of evil in all its format and refuse to sin or let sin have dominion over me. I reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises. Heavenly Father, I ask your forgiveness for myself, my friends, my relatives, my ancestors, for calling upon powers that set them in opposition to Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for cleansing to Calvary God. There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power.
Welcome to another episode of the House of Christ Ministries Presents, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world by honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our online bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible college at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., and the Tony Owens Ministry at www.reverseofrevival.com. Once again, you can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., and the Tony Owens Ministry at www.reverseofrevival.com. You can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. now supports Food for the Poor. We need your financial support to raise funds to assist their efforts. Food for the Poor is helping the poorest of poor in 17 Latin American and Caribbean countries, including Jamaica. They are no easy fix when it comes to poverty. Your donation will help to alleviate some of the pressing issues facing the poor. I pray that you will find it in your hearts to give. You can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. All donations will be appreciated. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501(c)(3). If you prefer to mail a check, please make it payable to Food for the Poor, Inc., and it should be mailed to 6401 Lyons Road, Coconut Creek, Florida, 33073. Please write on the check's memo line SC80192 to ensure proper tracking. God bless you, and I pray that you'll find it in your hearts to give. As we continue on this spiritual journey, we encourage you to partner with us in ministry. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is a member of the Tony Owens Ministries, Inc. We are an apostolic ministry that share the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums, from our radio broadcast every Sunday and Wednesdays, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission at 8:30 p.m. on www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. To our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are important components to bringing the gospel to a lost and hurting world. Together we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003, or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code Section 501(c)(3). Dr. Oswald J. Smith once said, "Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist."
Blessed assurance.
28, verses 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 18 says, "And he said unto them, Go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Beloved, you can be a soul winner. Certain requirements must be fulfilled for real success in leading the lost souls to Jesus Christ. I would like to share with you a few simple requirements. You must be born again. You must be born again, believer. You must turn away from all sins, worldliness, selfishness, and allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord over your thoughts, your purpose, and actions. You must truly love others and long for their salvation. If you have no love for other souls, your efforts will be mechanical and powerless. But if you, like Paul, have a great heaviness and continual pain in your heart for the unsaved, the earnestness in your tone and manner will impress even the most uninterested person. You must seize the opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 9, verse 2. "That I of great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart." You must have a working knowledge of the Bible. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, which God uses to convict people of sin, to reveal Jesus Christ, and to regenerate the lost. You must use the Bible to bring people to Jesus Christ. You must pray frequently. Pray about whom you should speak to and what you should say. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. After Jesus Christ gave his disciples the Great Commission, he told them, "But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Beloved, I encourage you tonight to honor the Great Commission and not only sit in the four walls of the church, but to go out in your community. Go out in your neighborhood. Call your friends on the phone. Have a conversation with them and include Jesus Christ. encourage them to turn away from the sins of this world and to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every conversation that you get involved in should lead to, are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And to encourage them about the beauty of accepting Jesus Christ and the compensation in eternity. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name, when angels from great fall bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel, great He ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saved you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Hail Him who saved you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all.
Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to Him all
chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Tonight, I ask you to join me in praises unto God. Let us praise God in all things. Praise draws us into an abundant life which God created us to live in. Please join me in praising the Lord and be drawn into the realm of the miraculous. Forget about yourself and concentrate on God, because He's an awesome God, and we should worship Him in spirit and only. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are my life and my love. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the name above all names. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Emmanuel, God with us. King of creation. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you're King of the universe. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are Lord of Lords. Praise you, Jesus. tonight. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Christ. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are Christ the King. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Lamb of God. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Lion of Judah. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Bright Morning Star. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are Champion of Sheep. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are our strength and our song. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the way of our life. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the only truth. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the real life. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the wonderful counselor. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Prince of Peace. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the light of the world. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the living word. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are our Redeemer. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Messiah. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Anointed One. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Holy One of Israel. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Good Shepherd. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Shepherd. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Lord of hosts. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Rock of all ages. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are my eyes and face. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are the Savior of the world. Praise you, Jesus Christ, because you are strong and powerful. How great thou art. As we praise you tonight, Lord, we lift you up and we bless you and we exalt your name. You're worthy to be praised. Amen. continue on this spiritual journey, our lesson for tonight is the origin of man. And I would just like to remind you that if you desire to receive copies of these lessons or previous lessons, you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. These lessons are for free. So we encourage you to join us on this spiritual journey and to spread the good news through these lessons throughout your community. I pray that you'll all find it in your hearts to submit to the Lord and to honor the Great Commission. Once again, our lesson for tonight is the origin of man. In this day of modern technology and higher learning, man has tried to eliminate his origins through a divine creator, making man accountable to and dependent on and no one but himself. Contrary to popular teaching of evolution, man did not evolve from some lesser order or being. Man is intelligently designed by his creator, the living God. This truth is contained in God's only word, the Holy Bible. Many whom the world consider to be scholars, as well as religious leaders, try to discredit this book because it is true, which it is, then their theories and religious thoughts are a lie. Man would rather God be wrong than himself. This is why many religions around the world try all they can to stop the Holy Bible from coming to the people in their countries, as well as those in their religion. The Bible challenges man's order of religion and scholarly thoughts, which most often is built on great error, man's opinion and not God's word. Yet because of the traditions of men and the spirits that are behind these religion and scholarly thought, most are unwilling to accept the truth in God's word. There is no other book that is so challenged throughout the world. This is because of the truth that it contains, that liberates all those who receive its truth, both naturally and spiritually, causing them to have security in God through his sacrifice that he sent to die for the pardoning and forgiving of their sins, Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, we have the truth about man's creation. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." As we examine the above scripture, we see the pattern in which God used to create man. That pattern was himself. God made man in his image and after his likeness. The first human that God created in his likeness and image was Adam. Let us take a look at verse 26 of this chapter. There are some questions that should come to mind when we read this verse, the first of which is, who was God speaking to when he said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness"? The only true and living God is triune, yet singular. That is to say that God is a trinity of three parts, which is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. He is one God and three distinct personalities. To answer the above question, God the Father was speaking to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We know that he was not speaking to the angels, for they do not have equality with God, and God does not need counsel or agreement of angels to do a sovereign work of his will. The second question is, what is the difference between likeness and image? Aren't they the same thing? Please understand that God is not being redundant in this verse, rather specific and detailed in description regarding the creation of man. The word image in Hebrew is pronounced teshlem, meaning illusion, resemblance, hence, representative figure. In layman terms, it is the way we look. Man was made to look like or resemble God. The word likeness in Hebrew is domut, pronounced demut, meaning model, shape, fashion, the way that we are made, manner, similitude, having similarity or double. In layman terms, likeness means composition, or the way we are made. Beloved, God is triune, three parts, and so is man. Man is a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. The composition of man. Man is a triune being, or a being that has three distinct parts. Let us examine the functions and the purpose of each of these parts. The body. When trying to expound on the origin or creation of man, we must look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, a clause, which tells us of the material used to create man. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." We must now ask ourselves, what is dust? The Hebrew word for dust in this text of scripture is apar, pronounced afar, meaning dust, powdered gray, clay, earth, mud, ashes, powdered ground. God did not use white dust for white men, or use red dust for red men, or used yellow dust for yellow men, nor black dust for black men, nor brown dust for brown men, nor olive dust for olive men, rather gray dust of all men. For every single person that has ever lived has their origins in one person. So the material that God used to build man was a gray dust. This is why the body, after death, turns grayish in color as it decomposes. God took dust and formed man. The Hebrew word for form in this text of scripture is yatsar, meaning to squeeze into shape, mold into form, especially as a potter, to fashion, frame, and purpose. When God made the body for man, he formed it, he shaped it, He molded it and gave it purpose, just as a potter shapes a day pitcher and gives it purpose and functions. When God made the eyes of man, it was intended purpose and function. When he made the hands of man, God is a great designer who has purpose in all that he does. Man's body was designed, made, or patterned to look like in the image of God. Man's body was also created to house his spirits and his soul. The body has within it five senses, which gives the body the ability to experience the things of this world through sight, touch, smell, hearing, and tasting. The first woman was Eve, who was created by God, yet through man. Woman was created to be a companion to man and a help to him. Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 24 says, "And God gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. Ye shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Let us take a look at the soul, brothers and sisters. When explaining the trifold nature of God, or the trifold nature of man, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, gives insight into all three areas. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, A clause and B clause says, "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Here, we have the birth of the psyche of man through the breath or spirit of life from God. God had already created the body of man, yet he had not been programmed. The body of man without a soul is similar to having a computer with no program in it. The soul is the part of man that programs the brain. The brain facilitates the soul. And the soul, while in an earthly body, functions through the brain. The word soul in the Greek is psyche, or psuche, from which we derive the word psyche, dealing with the mind. Psuche means spirit or animal sentiment, able to perceive, be aware, conscious. The soul has in it emotions, affections, memory, reasoning, imagination, and intellect. Each person that God created has a distinct psyche, personality, or consciousness in which comes to life or is animated when God breathed spirit, which is life, into it. God designed the human body to facilitate spiritual attributes. God created the physical brain and instilled in it the soul of man, the mind. In the spiritual realm, the soul does not need the physical brain to function, yet while man is on earth, his soul uses the brain to facilitate it or function through it. This is why the spiritual realm and eternity, heaven or hell, people will remember, feel, and have emotions, yet without an earthly body. Luke chapter 16, verses 14 to 31, gives us the account of this spiritual fact. Some believe that Jesus Christ was telling a parable in the scripture, but we know that that is not true because Jesus Christ never ever used names in parables. He was speaking a factual account. Luke chapter 16, verses 23 to 29 says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, because he was able to see, being in torment, because he was able to feel, and seat Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, because he was able to speak, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, because he was able to taste and thirst. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. The rich man was able to hear, for he responded to what Abraham was saying to him. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses the prophets, let them hear them. Beloved, the soul will exist eternally, even outside of the body. When we consider the various personalities of people, both good and bad, many questions arise as to why God allows people to have minds that are evil and cause bad things. Let us go a little deeper. When Adam was created, he had within him all the traits, both mental and physical, that God wanted to give to humanity. Sin perverted these various traits in Adam's gene pool, causing the behaviors from man's fallen psyche that we see today throughout humanity. Sin always turns what God intended to be a blessing to become a curse, or opposite of what God intended. We see this with fallen angels. God did not make them to aid as they do today. It was the introduction of sin that caused their psyche to change from God's design to wickedness. The Spirit. Again, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, A and B clause, we see the birthing of this part of man. It reads, And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. To understand what the spirit of man is, we must define the word breath from the Hebrew. We see in the above scripture that God breathed the breath of life and man became alive. The breath of life, or the spirit of life that God breathed into man, deposited in him a spirit that had the life of God in it. Please understand that God is the giver of life, and that life is spirit, and it is given through God's breath. Even though God had formed the body of man, it still was not alive until he blew the breath of life into it. The Hebrew word for breath in this text of scripture is neshama, pronounced neshama, meaning to puff, mind, angry, or vital breath, divine inspiration, intellect, denoting the soul's deposit, breath, inspiration, soul, spirit. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, pronounced pneuma, meaning a current of air, breath, or breeze, an angel, a demon, or divine God, Christ's spirit, Holy Spirit, ghost, life, spirit, wind. Your spirit has a specific image, shape, and form, which causes it to be distinguishable from others. Now your soul or psyche causes you to be seen in a specific way. This is based on what it has perceived or knows about who you are or what you look like according to your natural body or image. Your spirit has within it your soul or psyche, mind, and its abilities. Again, this is how the rich man who died, went to hell, was able to feel, see, and distinguish different people in hell and paradise. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 21. I encourage you to read that. In heaven, we will have the mind or psyche of Jesus Christ, which will cause us to see ourselves in a redeemed state as Jesus Christ sees us. This will also cause us not to remember with remorse those who died without Jesus Christ and went to hell. Because of the mind or psyche of Jesus Christ, we will not hurt nor grieve for them, for our minds will fully understand and embrace God's mercy and justice of God. The Bible says that we shall know even as we are known because of the psyche or mind of Jesus Christ flowing through us, his body. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." It is with our spirit that we contact and communicate with God. John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24 says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Man comes from God. Man's come from God, or man comes from God, for the word of God, the Holy Bible, says that God breathed the breath of life into man. It was when God breathed the breath of life into man that man became animated. The spirit of man has the life of God in it, which causes the body to live as long as the spirit is resident. This is why in the book of Revelations, people who will try and kill themselves will not be able to, because God will cause their spirits to stay resident in their bodies. Revelation chapter 9 verse 6 says, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Why did God create man? There are various reasons that God created man. And I am sure that I do not know them all, for some of God's purpose for man may yet be waiting to be understood in eternity. Yet with the understanding that God has given us, I will list a few reasons for man's creation. Man was created to be a heritage. The American Heritage Dictionary of the English language defines heritage as something other than property passed down from preceding generations, legacy, tradition. It is also the status or lot acquired by a person through birth or birthright, a heritage of influence and position. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, the word tells pastors not to be lords over God's heritage. Man was created for God's pleasure. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God created all things, including man, for his pleasure. The word pleasure in this text implies whatever God determines. Man, as well as all creation, was made to praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 148, verses 1 through 14 says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in heights, praise him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his host, praise ye him, sun and moon, praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowls, kings of the earth, and all people, princes, and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people." The praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him, Praise ye the Lord. And all creation was made for the purpose of praising God. When the winds blow through the trees, is an act of praise to God. When the waves rise up and then fall, it is an act of praise to God. All things, including man, were made to give praise to our Creator, the living God. Psalms chapter 149, verses 1 through 6. Psalm chapter 150, verses 1 through 6, tells us why we should praise Him. And I encourage you to read that. Man is to have fellowship with God, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. The reason why Satan, the devil, hates man so much. The question we ask, why does Satan hate man so much? I believe some of his hatred is based on jealousy. Some of the reasons might be that man was made in the image of God. Man was made for the praise of God and to have fellowship with God. Much of what Satan wanted and the job that he used to have praise was given to man. Beloved, remember, Satan was virtually an instrument of praise for the Lord. Built within him were instruments of praise. Please take a look at Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 through 15. Satan may have thought that after his expulsion from heaven, that he would have dominion on earth. Then God gave the dominion to man. In the beginning, God created man with purpose. In the beginning, man was purposed to be a vegetarian. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 tells us of the diet that God proposed for man. It reads, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb," which means vegetables, "bearing seeds, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." God made man a vegetarian. Instead of flesh, God gave man fruit as meat. Man was not made a carnivore or meat eating. Our bodies were not originally made for meat. Another purpose for the creation of man was to give him dominion over all the earth. That includes the wind and the waves, etc. God did not just give man dominion without training. Man was in the Garden of Eden being trained in dominion. Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 through 20 says, "And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the same thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him." Beloved, man was created to be like God. He was being trained in dominion and power as any good father would train his son in doing. Man was not only given life, but was also given the ability to procreate, make children in his own image. I encourage you to take a look at Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Sin cut short man's dominion training. When man decided to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he took upon himself the responsibility for doing what is right or wrong, good or evil. His actions from that point on were looked at as intentional rather than innocence due to knowledge of what is right and wrong. Before Adam ate from the tree, he probably heard and made mistakes. Yet they probably were not considered sin if they were not an act of disobedience to God, and because he did not have knowledge of good and evil. This seems to be an early area where God's grace was instituted, called innocence. God created man to be humble, and in that humility, understand his need to be dependent on God for true wisdom, knowledge, and direction. Humility is a function of walking in the Spirit. Satan introduced pride, telling them if they ate of the tree in disobedience to God, then they would be as gods. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Pride is centered and reliance of the flesh and self. This caused man to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and thus man sought for and is still seeking his own wisdom, knowledge, and direction. God is the center of truth, and when man sought after God's status without God, they sinned and caused a stop to them walking and hindered in the Spirit. Sin always pushes us away from God. The nations of the earth, when God created Adam, he placed him, all the nations of the earth, every hair color, every eye color, every skin color, every ear texture, and all that we see in the multitude of humanity was in Adam's genes. Our God is a God of variety, making each person distinctive and different. All of these distinctions and differences was in Adam when God created him. Besides Adam, all people whoever lived on the planet descended from three other people, of which one we do not even know their name, and they are Eve, Adam's wife, Noah's wife. We do not know her name. The nations of the world that we see today, all descended from the sons of Noah, who are Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They were triplets, given the beginning of nations' equality in time of origin. We know this because Genesis chapter 5, verse 32 tells us that Noah was 500 years old when he begat all three of his sons. So we knew then that they were triplets. The beginning of nations and continents. At one time all men spoke one language. Genesis chapter 11 verse 1. But were prideful, trying to build a tower that could reach heaven. This was done because they distrusted God and did not want God to scatter them, perhaps through another flood. God came down from heaven and confounded their language, causing them not to be able to understand each other's speech. This all took place in a place called Shinar in Iraq. Because their speech sounded like Babel, a confusion of words causing them not to be understood. The city was called Babylon because they babbled. This caused men to disperse out to different places, probably with those who spoke the language that they could understand. Different ethnos probably spoke the same language. Those who spoke the same languages most likely migrated to certain regions of the earth. It is important that you understand that at this time the earth was just one big land mass. For there was not as yet different continents. Sometime after the confusion of languages, the land was divided. And if we take a look at Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, which gives evidence to this fact, it says, "And unto Hagar were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. And his brother's name was Joktan." The meaning of the name Peleg in Hebrew means a split or divide, referring to an earthquake. This probably caused the isolation of the races and various languages to various regions or continents. It was most likely an earthquake that caused the shifting and breaking of the tectonic plates in the earth. As a proof to this, take a look at the map of the world and cut out the continents. You will find that they fit together as a puzzle forming one body of land. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for this teaching tonight. We pray that it was a blessing to all those who had listened. And we pray that those who will be listening the archives of this lesson will be greatly touched. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit which dwells in me and speaks through me. As we continue on this spiritual journey, the lesson tonight was the origin of man. And once again, I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003, or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. The Word of God is mighty and powerful, and is well able to profoundly influence your lives. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into an eternal and unbreakable covenant with God. At this time, all of His promises are available to you if you receive them by faith. Praise be to God. And as we continue on this spiritual journey, we would like to extend an invitation to you to join us on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have previously accepted Him and turned away from Him, He's waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of life. God created us in His own image to have an abundant life. God gave us the will and freedom of choice. He chose to disobey God and go our sin. melting in separation from God. I encourage you to reflect on your life and to turn away from the sins of the world and accept Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to trust Jesus Christ. Will you receive Jesus Christ right now? It is a glorious thing and a very wonderful thing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Christ did not come to save the righteous but the sinners. I just want to remind you that Jesus Christ is the only way. And God loves you. Sin separates us from God. But God sent his Son Jesus Christ to save us. And he's the only way. John chapter 14 verse 6 says, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I encourage you once again to stand on the promises of God and to trust in his word and to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Praise be to God. And as we come to the end of our show tonight, we want to thank each and every person who listened. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, thanking you for tuning in and reminding you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. Amen and good night. God bless you.